Tell me more about how his eyes look, Simon.
It's almost as if Simon enjoys being chastised by Baz or something.
Like, is this how you describe your enemies? It's really not.
Hot.
Yeah, like, basically. I feel like I just want to be like, quote-unquote, enemies for every time we bring up Baz.
You want to get sexy?
Yeah, let's get to the sexy stuff.
Hello, and welcome to Escape from Reality, a podcast where two queer IRL witches talk about Any Way the Wind Blows by Rainbow Rowell. I am Lark Malachi Gray.
And I am Jesse Blount. And today we are talking about chapters 37, 38, and 39 of Any Way the Wind Blows. So chapter 37, Baz and Simon report back to Lady Salisbury about the meeting with Smith Richards that they were at, and specifically let her know about Jamie being quote-unquote healed, a.k.a. being able to do magic. Lady Salisbury has some feelings about this, both good and bad. Simon wants to believe this is real, while Baz is pretty skeptical, as is Lady Salisbury.
She's having double-dip feelings.
She really is. Thank you. They leave Lady Salisbury's hours later, and the boys do an awkward little dance of now what before deciding to go back to Baz's place so Baz can grab some clothes and they can both go back to Simon's place for an indeterminate amount of time. Progress.
Yay.
Chapter 38. Simon is struggling with this new intimacy and, you know, communication, and is using one of his therapy strategies to manage his feelings about his relationship with Baz one moment at a time, because it is so hard for him to imagine a happy future, which,
yeah,
I feel like womp womp isn't the sound I want to make, but it's still like maybe like 8 crying emojis is really, yeah, the thing. Chapter 39, Baz. So they arrive to Baz's flat, and Fiona is very poorly hiding the fact that she has someone in her bedroom that she does not want Baz to see. Baz has like other concerns besides Fiona's love life, so he goes into his room to pack what turns out to be most of his clothing, considering that he has no idea how long he's going to be at Simon's. So he packs up and he bids farewell to Fiona and her mystery date, quote unquote. Because, mm-hmm, you know, as this is a spoiler-filled podcast, we know that it is Nico. That's who she is hiding in her bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So just a reminder, every episode's longer on Patreon. So, you know, maybe join us there if you like what we do. And if you want to be part of the group of people that are encompassed when I say thank you so much to our patrons and sticker club members / combo patrons and sticker club members, who are the entire reason that we can do this, since this is my full-time job. Yeah, you guys are all the best.
And as a reminder, if you are not in a place to support us financially, you can always leave us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes or other places, but we can definitely always see the Apple iTunes reviews. And if you have an app that is a podcast aggregate, they're usually pulling the reviews from Apple iTunes, which helps people find us and makes us feel great because we know how much you love our show.
Yeah. It's Mercury retrograde. Make us feel great. I don't know if it still will be when this comes out, but it is right now. All right. So let's get into it with Easy Come, Easy Go, where we talk about everything that doesn't go anywhere else. So when Lady Salisbury is like, you know, Simon's like, why hasn't Jamie called you to like gloat or whatever? And she's like, I don't know. Why does anyone not call their moms? And then both boys apparently just turn into the like, I just imagine the emoji with like the giant sad eyes is like both of their, yes, faces. And she immediately is like, oh, fuck.
Right. Just,
oh,
I know.
I feel so sad for everyone involved in that. And also, I just find it really amusing to imagine.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those like, ooh, I really should have thought before I said that out loud.
Yeah.
Which is an ADHD mood. My first thing is also about Lady Salisbury, which is I too like to eat my feelings. So I'm like, crying while eating a piece of cake is definitely a thing that I have done in my life. So
Yeah, you know, actually, I had something about that, which is really just a, I'm putting this, because we have so many amazing listeners who know so many things that we don't know. I feel like there has to be like a physiological reason where like when you're trying not to cry and then you like put a piece of food in your mouth, you like can't not cry anymore. Like there's some sort of like nerve being stimulated or like something taking place, because that feels like very real where you're like, all right, I've got it together. I'm going to like sit here and eat my cake. And then like the second the food touches your mouth, you're like, whoops, I do not have it together. Now I've got a mouthful of food and I'm sobbing. So if anyone knows what that is, please email us, #ruthlesspods@gmail.com. Not easily look upable, you know?
Yeah, I like don't
Why
know.
Why start crying when eat food? No.
Yeah, I feel like the variety of things that might come up if you Googled that is, I'm sure, a range of like, what the fuck to, oh God, no, this is terrible fat phobic bullshit. Okay, no, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so still on their conversation, the part where she's like, you know, basically things that are worth believing in should hold up to scrutiny, right? And she says truth doesn't burn in sunlight, and Simon gives Baz a weird look because he's a vampire. It's so silly.
I think, honestly, I think it's kind of cute where he's like, it is kind of silly, but I'm also just like, I don't know, it's like kind of cute for him to be like,
it's super cute. I didn't mean that in a like I don't like it way. I mean it in a like that's just really funny.
I know.
He's like, oh no, Baz burns in the sunlight or something. I don't know.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I think, as we'll probably talk about later in this episode, that, I don't know, there's some really good boyfriending happening, I think, in these chapters. Yeah,
there sure is.
My next thing is when Baz is describing staying over to Simon's house and how he just has a mattress on the floor with no sheets and no pillows. And I'm like, of course, Simon has a like almost cliche, like meme worthy sort of bedroom where it's like, there's no sheets on your bed.
In Simon's defense, he did move out in a huff like 1 week ago or less. This book takes place in a very short span of time.
I guess that's fair. I'm just like, I don't know. The texture of a mattress is something that I'm like, ugh. Just like, I can't, no, I'm...
Absolutely, yeah, don't touch it. Mm-mm.
No, just...
But they haven't gone to IKEA yet, right?
No, they have not gone to IKEA. AKA the, I don't want to say what the most important relationship test, but it definitely will test your relationship.
Yeah. It sure will.
Yeah, Nicole just, I just don't go to IKEA with Nicole.
Oh, really?
Well, half the time I go either by myself or with my brother who... likes going to IKEA as much as I do.
Okay.
So, yeah. I just have one more thing in this section. I was going to write something else about Fiona vaping, which Baz is just like, what the fuck are you doing? And I realize when I was typing this out, I'm like, she's probably vaping so she doesn't accidentally set Nico on fire, right? Obviously.
Yep.
Okay.
She wasn't going to quit for Baz, she'll quit for Nico.
She sure as fuck wasn't going to quit for Baz, which is so rude. I feel like post this book, Baz is going to be like, oh, so you are fine almost setting me on fire, but your boyfriend, you're like, I got to vape now.
Right.
Oh, Fiona.
So rude.
I know. So rude. So in character. Uh-huh.
Welcome to I See a Little Silhouette of a Man, where we talk about character development. I just have Simon and Baz here together. I have a big, you guys, is my primary note about their whole thing about Baz coming to stay with Simon, which even though it's very... hard in a lot of ways, like both of their unease is, you know, it's palpable. It's like right at the edges. At the same time, the overall thing is very soft and very vulnerable and very cute.
Yeah. And actually, even though they've been together for like a year-ish, the chapters of them sort of navigating their relationship has very like the sort of first flush of dating vibes, where you're like, oh yeah, we're gonna hang out at your place. Like, how many clothes do I bring? Like, what makes sense? Like, how much time should we spend together? Is it too much time? Like, when do I need to actually be home? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It just reminds me of like when me and Nicole started dating, and it'd be like, all right, I'm coming over for the weekend, I think, maybe. Or like one day. So it's like, how many things do I bring with me? Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's just, yeah, it is very tender despite both of their anxieties.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice.
And yeah, I feel like especially because Simon's POV chapter is just him working through his like anxiety, I feel like it's so much more palpable because he's just sort of taking a moment at a time, just a second at a time. He just is not used to good things, I think, or like this sort of like intimate relationship. And I just feel a lot of empathy for him.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it makes perfect sense that he's like, I actually don't know how to emotionally prepare for something nice to happen. So
yeah,
I'm feeling pretty at loose ends about this.
I know. I'm so proud of him for working through that anxiety still, because making that effort is important both for like himself and for his relationship with Baz.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's just really lovely to see in like a fictional character, like grappling with these feelings.
Yeah.
It's so cute. They're so cute.
Yeah. And they're like, I don't know. I love that Baz is like, we did safe, productive arguing last night. And he's like so happy about it. And you're like, yeah, that is a thing to celebrate. I'm just really happy for them.
I know. I love that for them too. Cause like, right. They're still like having an intimate moment, even though they're sort of arguing about a kind of serious thing, which is if Smith Richard is the chosen one, which I feel like Simon is very, of course, ready to be like, oh, I wasn't the chosen one. That was not me. And Baz is correct to be like, this guy's a fraud.
Yeah, Baz is like, the vibes are off. I don't know, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and complicated with Simon, considering he sort of had to close a loop on a situation that he like didn't cause, but was sort of like caught up because the mage is a fucking piece of shit, you know?
Yeah.
But Baz is right about him healing a whole, the
magical firmament.
Yes. I had to Google firmament because I'm like, what is this word? Which, I mean, Baz is right.
Yeah. I mean, Baz is a Snovian. We are also Snovians. Us and Baz and Lady Salisbury heading up the Simon, you were in fact chosen society. So
we have little buttons that say, I believe in Simon Snow. So
yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I do see where maybe Simon would have feelings to be like, but this guy's like directly helping people directly. I just murdered a bunch of shit, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know why that means that he's like, I don't see the connection between that and being chosen, I guess. Because I'm like, there are, you know, super incredible surgeons that like save people from all sorts of things that could otherwise kill them or like harm them terribly. And we aren't like, oh my God, this dude's fucking chosen. I hate that I just said dude, but like, you know, I just like being particularly good at a thing that is helpful to people is not the only ingredient required for being a chosen one, you know?
Yeah. I think if I were to guess, I think at this point in Simon's life, he is maybe like, I was a fraud, chosen one. Maybe this guy is legit because like it wasn't me, which I think part of it is his self-esteem / mental health issues. Because as we've been saying, it's like, no, you are the chosen one, even if you're not actively doing the thing that you thought that would entail. you know.
Yeah, but also, like, even if he wasn't the Chosen One, that doesn't mean that the Chosen One, A, actually exists, or B, would exist right now. Like, the mage forced Simon's coming.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like the prophecy said, oh, in, you know, 2015 or whenever, like, I guess Simon emerged as the Chosen One when he was 11. So someone else do that math. It wasn't like the prophecy gave a date. It was just like, someday a Chosen One will happen. So there isn't like, well, it's Chosen 1 o'clock. So if it's not Simon, it's gotta be someone else currently here.
Mm-hmm.
They could come in 100 years or 1,000 years or 15 years. You know, like, there's just,
yeah,
there's no reason. Just because it's not Simon doesn't mean it's someone else right now.
And definitely not this con artist.
Correct.
I did want to say a little bit, just briefly touch on, I love how Baz has a little bit of anxiety about, like, what should I pack? How much should I pack? And eventually he's just like, fuck it, I'm bringing most of my shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
Baz seems like the kind of person who takes like 3 suitcases for a week on vacation, because he's like, what if this scenario, and I am the kind of person that would be like deeply embarrassed to be inappropriately dressed for like a scenario that I haven't envisioned yet, you know?
Yeah. I was trying to keep track of how many bags he was packing, and I'm like, both of them are carrying so much of Baz's luggage.
Yeah, totally. It's so funny where he's like, I'm going to need another bag just for my shoes. And I'm like, I own 2 pairs of shoes. I own a pair of shoes for the rainy season and a pair of shoes for the not rainy season. And that is it. Like, what do you mean a bag for your shoes?
Baz has a shoe for all occasions.
He does. Welcome to Face the Truth, where we talk about things that are fucked up.
I just want to talk about how much I love when, like, Lady Salisbury is talking about Smith Richards and Jamie, and she's like, anything worth believing should stand up to interrogation, and, like, truth doesn't burn in the sunlight. And I feel like that is a really good thing to keep in mind, especially contemporarily, when people believe so many garbage conspiracy theory things. And I don't know, I think it also just got me thinking about a sort of idea of anything worth believing should stand up to interrogation. I think it also, you can apply that to art, because I feel like I've been seeing a lot of online discussion about people having a lot of strong feelings about critiquing television shows, movies that, like, people feel really invested in. Which is weird to me, because I'm like, but it's fun to do that. and I think that, I mean, obviously being critical of the things that you are learning about, hearing, reading is important. And I just think it was a nice reminder to get this in this chapter, especially because Lady Salisbury says that Jamie was like, would tell her that questioning the process is like counterproductive to the cause, which just sounds like the same kind of like conservative bullshit people would tell you about why AI is garbage, or, you know, why being an anti-vaxxer is terrible, or questioning people's conservative authoritarian views. And you're like, are you sure about that though?
Right.
Like, have you really like thought this one through, or listened to people who are like, maybe not actually?
Right. Yeah. I think that's it's just a huge red flag ever, because it just is basically like, what are you going to believe? Like, the evidence or me, with the implicit indication that the correct answer is like, I'm going to believe you, like, regardless of the evidence. And it's like, I don't know. So.
Exactly. Especially since what Smith Richards is doing is a little bit adjacent, not quite faith healing, but sort of in that realm of, listen to me, don't question me, and I can give you everything that you want.
Right.
Which is, I think, if you come across that a thing, you should definitely interrogate. It's like, this does in fact sound too good to be true.
Yeah. I do think Baz's point about, like, I mean, it could be a placebo effect is really legit. And, like, the fact that psych meds are almost entirely placebo, and we know that, and they still work. Like, placebo is very effective. That doesn't mean that he's chosen, you know?
Like, honestly, the fact that the placebo effect works at all and science is like, yeah, this works, is mind-blowing.
I mean, I think it's epigenetics, right? Because, like, a lot of the things that make us unwell are epigenetic switches that get turned on and off. And, like, those things respond to environmental factors. And, like, some of those environmental factors are, like, your own well-being, right? So, I don't know. I think that it makes sense in some ways.
I think that's just, I think the part that is wild to me is just how much power your brain has like that. So,
yep.
I don't know. It's just always, I don't want to say surprising, but
yeah.
That was all I had here.
Cool. Welcome to Caught in a Landslide, where we rant about stuff.
I actually don't have anything.
Okay. I got a couple things. So the entire interaction between Fiona and Baz in chapter 39 is a delight.
It's so good.
They are like siblings, not like an aunt and nephew with like a 20-year age gap. Like, you would think that they were 2 years apart and had grown up together. And honestly, I might read this chapter for Patreon because it's just like so silly. I don't know.
It's very funny. You're right, though. Yeah, their relationship is not. Yeah, it is very much like siblings.
Yeah. And specifically, I don't know. So Baz is like making fun of her for vaping, and she's like, I thought you objected to open flame. And he's like, I also object to you looking like a yob. And she's like, don't be classist, Basil. And I was like, that is fucking rich coming from you, Fiona. Like,
I know.
Imagine being Fiona Pitch and being like, don't be classist. I don't think so.
I know.
They're just really funny. I can't believe Baz like has been living with her for a year now. I would have had to go, you know.
Maybe she's not around a lot, is what I could think.
Yeah, maybe. Welcome to Is This Just Fantasy, where we talk about magic and science and research that we did.
All right, so Baz talks about, we don't get this spelled by name, but a shrinking spell. Because he's like, I could just shrink my wardrobe, but it's actually a pain to reverse it. And then he's like, if only Penny could make that Missy Elliott song work. And part of me is like, but this song is well known enough that it actually should work as a reversal spell.
Yeah.
So I'm like, what are you talking about?
No, he said, it's not if only she could make it work, because it has been working. He's like, she can like get famous from this spell as long as that song stays relevant.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I think I maybe reread that, what he was saying. That makes sense.
Yeah, I think he says, like, as long as that Missy Elliott song sticks, I think. But I think he means, like, in the cultural zeitgeist.
Which I think it probably will, because that song came out when I was in high school.
Yeah, no, that's a great song.
Also, my last thing is, like, I was trying to think of what the shrinking spell might be that he's talking about. Because I don't think we get a shrinking spell before him mentioning it here.
No, I don't think so.
Mm.
Did you come up with any ideas?
I did not. That's why I was asking him, like, nothing had immediately come to mind. And I was like,
interesting. I feel like shrink ray should be a spell, right? I didn't understand, like, surely it's bigger on the inside is a spell. So I'm like, why do you need to shrink your wardrobe and not just make your bag expanded?
Especially in the UK. I'm like, that seems like it would work real well.
So well. Like, you could live inside your bag after casting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, what a good chapter. What a good string of chapters.
Yeah, it was really fun. All right. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. Next time we're reading chapters 41 and 42. Please check the show notes for all the ways to find us and support us and interact with us and everything. And until next time,
Scaramouche.